We'll praise the Lord for that special tonight. Again, good to see families serving the Lord together by way of music. What a blessing it has been to just be in the Lord's house this evening. And I trust that the Lord's going to do a great work even through the message tonight. And I'm looking forward to all that God has for us. Luke chapter 17 this evening. Luke chapter 17 in your Bible. And I began to pray about what the Lord would have me to preach on tonight. And Lord began to direct me to this passage. And I was praying for confirmation. Many times when you preach, you always want to have confirmation from the Lord that you're in the right passage. And of course, He gives confirmation in many different ways. And I was studying this passage, and you're familiar, most of you are familiar with the 10 lepers. And the 10 that were healed, only 9 did not come back to give thanks to the Lord, and just the 1 came back to give thanks. And I began to think about thanksgiving and praising the Lord through every situation. And as I was studying this morning, I came out of my office. There was a lot of rain coming down this morning, and I was praying for confirmation. Came out of my office, and I was watching the rain fall, and I just had this thought to come over by the auditorium and come through the auditorium lobby, and I got out to the foyer, and I looked down the Cavaletto hallway only to see rain pouring in to the building. We had flooded. There was some standing water in the midst of the courtyard there, and the Lord was teaching me a lesson, I think, to give thanks in all things. And so I got my confirmation a little bit different way than normal. And so if you dealt with flooding at your house today, I apologize. It was probably my fault, as the Lord is giving me confirmation for this message tonight. And we praise the Lord just for the ways that He works on our behalf and just looking into different things. But Luke chapter 17 this evening, if you'll go ahead and stand out of respect for the Lord's word tonight, Luke chapter 17. And again, reading a very familiar passage of Scripture, the 10 lepers, and one coming back to give thanks. Verses 11 down through verse 19, I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be this evening. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" We'll pray and you can be seated this evening. Lord, again, we're so thankful for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather together in this place and to hear from your word. And I pray, Lord, this would be exactly what each and every one of us need. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I deliver this message, Lord. And use me this evening. I pray that you'd be with each and every hearer tonight. Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in our hearts, Lord, and help us to apply it, Lord, your Holy Spirit, to apply it to our individual hearts and lives this evening. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I think that probably most of us are familiar with the idea here of this story, these 10 lepers. And again, 9 of them were healed, all 10 were healed, and only 9 left. Only 1 came back and gave thanks the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And probably a story many of us have heard while we were growing up in Sunday school and different things like that. But there's a great lesson for us to learn in this story about the giving of thanks for the things that God does for us. And I want to say right off the bat tonight, and I want you to remember this phrase, this idea that ingratitude is a sin. Unthankfulness is a sin. In fact, for each and every one of us as Christians, we are commanded to give thanks and praise to the Lord. I want you to keep your Bibles handy, at least through the introduction tonight, because we're going to go to several different passages, just kind of building a case for this. In fact, I want you to turn over to Psalm 118 this evening, Psalms 118 and verse 1 tonight. And I want you to see what God says there about the idea of Christians giving thanks unto the Lord in Psalms 118 in verse 1. And the Bible says there, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Understand that is a command for each and every one of us. That's not a suggestion. The Bible says, "Give thanks unto the Lord." Listen, that's a command. Here's the reason: for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. And I believe what a truth that is. We are to give thanks to God, but we have every reason to give thanks to God because He is good and because His mercy endureth forever. That exact phrase, that exact verse appears 5 times in the book of the Psalms. It appears 1 time elsewhere. I'm simply saying, listen, if God makes a habit of repeating Himself, it's there for a reason. There's a message to be gained, and each and every one of us as Christians need to realize we need to give thanks to God, no matter what the situation is. We need to give thanks, and listen, to not give thanks, to be unthankful as a Christian is a sin. And so we understand that tonight. As Christians, I believe all of us would, and again, by the way, on a Wednesday evening crowd, most of you are saved, if not all of us that are gathered here tonight. Relatively very few visitors this evening. We're all in this place. There's a commonality in the fact that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we understand that on a Wednesday night. And I want you to understand, listen, as Christians, we have much to be thankful for. We can be thankful for our salvation and the mercies that God gives to us every day. And yet I find in my own life it's so much easier to complain than to give praise. And I think probably all of us would realize that if we would admit to that. It's so much easier to complain rather than praise God for the blessings. And listen, some days it is more difficult to praise. Some days, things just aren't going our way. Some days, it's more likely that we're going to complain. But listen, we have no excuse to not praise the Lord and not be thankful for His goodness to us. Even on our worst days, we can find things to praise the Lord for. Find things to give thanks for. I remind you about Lamentations in chapter 3 and verse 22. If you want to turn over there, Lamentations in 3 and verse 22. We're going too fast. Just write these things down and look them up later. The Bible says, "There is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." I want you to think about that verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. You say, "Brother Andy, there's just some times that I have a difficulty finding something to praise the Lord for." Can I say, if you have breath in your lungs tonight, you can give the Lord praise? Each day that we live here on this earth affords us another opportunity to live for Him, to witness for Him, and give praise back for Him. And the Bible says there, listen, it's of His mercies that we're not consumed. It's of His mercies that we're still here, and His compassions will never fail you throughout your life. I want you to think about the God of all creation that loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And the Bible says that's who we're to praise. That's who we're to give glory to and give thanksgiving to. And so what a blessing it is that we can praise the Lord. And even on the difficult days, we can praise God because He still is God and He still loves us. What a blessing that is. Listen, I think about it this way. If you'll start recalling the goodness of God even on a rough day, even on a day that you're dealing with trials, start recalling the goodness of God in your life. Start recounting the blessings, the things that He's done for you in the past. Before long, I guarantee you that a smile will break out on your face. You'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. And you'll realize, listen, this trial that I'm going through, the Lord is still good, and He'll still bring me through this trial. And what a blessing. And can I say this? When you start rejoicing, that in and of itself will help your Christian life. That'll help you as a person. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, I want you to see that verse. Proverbs 17 and verse 22, I want your eyes to fall on this passage because what a blessing it is this evening. Proverbs 17 and verse 22, the Bible says there, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Understand this, Christian, tonight. Listen, when we begin to praise and we begin to rejoice, listen, God says that's like a medicine to our soul. A merry heart, a heart that is rejoicing in the things of God, it's like a medicine. It helps us even to feel better. What a blessing that is. It says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Listen, if you're bent towards negativity and towards complaining all these times and you're bent towards unthankfulness, listen, it almost works against your physical being. And yet God says, I want you to rejoice and to be thankful in Me and look to Me. And as Christians, each and every one of us need to do that. And so as we examine this very familiar story this evening of those 10 and only one coming back to give thanks, I want to look at this and see what God has to say about our return of thanksgiving for His mercies extended to us daily. I want you to first of all see in this passage the cry of these men. The cry of these men. Now, again, we read this passage just a few moments ago, and the idea here is that there were 10 lepers that obviously were moved away from society and were living amongst themselves in this place, and Jesus was coming to town. Look what the Bible says there in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That was their heart's cry, if they could get a healing from Jesus. Now, I want you to understand this, and I think we're all in agreement that these men were dealing with a major affliction. This disease of leprosy had left them destitute. It was a very difficult thing that they were dealing with, and they were dealing with a major affliction. As I began to read this passage, I wrote down some observations that I wanted to share with you tonight. Understand this about these men. These men were looked down upon because of their disease. They were looked down upon because of their disease. Many of you that are familiar with the scriptures understand the idea of this disease of leprosy was often associated with sin. In fact, many people that had leprosy, one of the reasonings they had it was because of some sin in their life. And listen, the Bible doesn't tell us about these men if they had that because of their own sin or whatever the case may be, but because they had the disease of leprosy, they were looked down upon. Understand this as well. These men were cut off from society. Not only were they looked down upon, they were cut off from society. And again, the Bible doesn't give us any background of these 10 men. No doubt all from different walks of life, from different backgrounds, from different homes, from different families. But while the Bible doesn't give us any details, we can imagine some things about these men. Possibly there was a man or a couple of men that were husbands. And because of this disease of leprosy, they had been cut off even from their own home and from their own spouse, and no doubt longing for the day in which they could embrace their spouse again and spend time with them. I imagine some of these men possibly were fathers. Some of these men were possibly fathers, and they looked forward to that time, and they remembered back at a time in which they could hold their children in their arms, and they could embrace them, and maybe they can tuck them into bed at night and give them a kiss on the forehead and say, "Daddy loves you, I'll see you in the morning." But understand, none of that was the case now. Possibly some of these men were young men with the rest of their lives in front of them, much to live and much to do, and all their hopes and dreams and their aspirations for their future lie before them. Perhaps there were maybe some business owners here amongst this group of men, and maybe they had put all their worldly goods into a company trying to build that, only to realize because of the disease of leprosy they had to turn that over to someone else. Listen, I'm saying while they came from different walks of life and different backgrounds, listen, one thing was the same thing about these. They were unified in one thing. They wanted relief from their disease. They wanted relief from their disease. Whatever the case may have been, that was the case. No doubt the rumor then begins to spread that Jesus was on his way. Could you imagine that? Here there are these 10 men, and who knows how long they had dealt with this disease of leprosy. Maybe the word begins to get to them that Jesus is heading towards that village. Maybe someone is coming on ahead and saying, "Listen, you'll never believe it, but Jesus is on his way." And these men no doubt had heard of the miracles that Jesus had done. They had heard how he had healed other lepers, men that were in the same condition that they were. And I wonder if they began to think in their minds, "Listen, Jesus is on his way. He's healed other people. This could be the day we could go home. This could be the day we could go back to our spouses. This could be the day we could finally wait and embrace our children and hold them in our arms. Those things that we've been longing to do for so long. This could be the day." And imagine as they're thinking in their minds, here comes Jesus. He's done it for other people. I'm sure he could do it for me. I'm sure he could do it for me. And by the way, may I say this? I don't believe Jesus just happened to go through that village that day. I believe that was a divine appointment. I believe long before that day, Jesus realized there was going to be 10 lepers there. 10 lepers that needed a healing. 10 lepers that, listen, were outcast from society. 10 lepers that were away from everything, and Jesus could help them. And what a blessing as he passed through that town. I want you to notice the immediate reaction in verse 12. Look at what the Bible says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Listen, these folks, they didn't wait for Jesus to come in and greet all the other people and heal all the other people. They didn't wait till Jesus came over to them and gave them an opportunity to speak to him. No, the Bible says immediately as soon as he entered into that city, they began to shout and scream with a very loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They began to cry out to him in a unified cry there. And listen, at that moment, it didn't matter that they weren't accepted in society. At that moment, it didn't matter that everything was put away from them. Listen, at that moment, it didn't even matter that they weren't even allowed to participate in religious activities and be in a synagogue. At that moment, it didn't matter that some were Samaritans and that Jesus was a Jew. All that mattered in that moment was, we need to get to Jesus. We need the healing that only Jesus can give to us. Jesus was passing by. And in that moment, those men, they laid aside their differences. They laid aside the different backgrounds and the different places where they had come from. And they were unified in their cry. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I love it because in verse 14, look what the Bible says. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You understand what Jesus told them to do, and as soon as they obeyed Jesus, not when they got to the priest, but as soon as they obeyed Jesus, that's when they were cleansed. What a blessing for us to understand tonight. Listen, their act of obedience allowed the healing of Jesus in their life, and tonight I'm reminded of the fact that at one point in our lives, we were all in the same situation. No, we didn't have the disease of leprosy. No, we had the disease of sin. The Bible says we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And listen, as we come here tonight, as we gather all from different backgrounds, here's one thing that brings us together. The fact that Jesus Christ shed His blood on a cross of Calvary for us. The fact that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we understand that His mercies are upon us. And He has had mercy upon us. And He's saved us and given us a new calling, a new life to live. What a blessing that is. And the fact that He extended mercy to us. But understand this, He continues to extend mercy to us every day. I love the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul was simply saying, listen, this body, this flesh on the outside, it's not getting any younger. In fact, every day is one step older in my life, one step closer to the grave. And while this flesh isn't getting any younger, listen, the spirit inside me, the spiritual man that I have in me is renewed day by day because of the mercies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And can I say this, Christians, tonight, just as these men had much to praise Him for the healing that they had received, their healing of leprosy, we have much to praise Him for the healing that He's done in our lives. And not only that, but the continued work that He does on a daily basis. We have so much to thank Him for. So much to praise Him for. And so first, I want you to see the cry of these men. But secondly tonight, I want you to see the contradiction of these men. The contradiction of these men. Look in verse 15, if you would. Obviously, remember, there are 10 of them. The Bible says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Just one of them. Understand that originally there were 10, and now only one has come back. The Bible then goes on to say in verse 16 that he was a Samaritan. I've read many commentaries on this passage. Many believe that possibly of that group, he was the only Samaritan that was there. I don't know if that's the case or not, but certainly if that was the case, he would have been the one that would have been the least likely to receive the healing from a Jew. And so no doubt one of the scriptural principles that we see throughout scriptures is those that are least deserving of grace and mercy are the ones that are most thankful for it. And we see this man, this one man that comes back to Jesus, and notice his response. It's very telling about him. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. I want you to notice this next phrase, and with a loud voice, glorified God. With a loud voice, glorified God. You say, Brother Andy, why did you bring that out? Because I want you to look back in verse 13. The Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to understand that with the same fervor that this man asked for God's mercy, that was the same fervor that he came and extolled thanksgiving and blessing back to God and glorified God. And listen, one of the lessons that I learned just from studying this passage, so many times we are so quick to ask for prayer, and man, we are fervent in our prayer request, and we'll ask over and over and over again, and yet how quickly after God answers that prayer request, maybe we say thanks one time and move on. And yet here's a man that says, listen, God, I want you to have mercy upon us. And with a loud voice, he yells towards God. And then when God answers that request, he comes back with the same fervor and thanksgiving and extolling that glory back to God. I see not only that, but I see that he was humbled. Look what the Bible says in verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Understand the idea there. He couldn't get to any lower of a position in front of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Took his face and put it right on the feet of Jesus. The idea for this man was, listen, I'm not worthy of the mercy that you've just extended to me. I'm not worthy of receiving the healing that you've just given to me. Listen, the things that you've just done for me, I'm not worthy. This man was overwhelmed with thanks. And yet I think in my mind, there's one, surely the other nine are going to come. Surely they'll be back. Maybe they're going to go see the priest and be declared clean, and then they'll come see Jesus. And yet we'd wait for a long time because not one of them came back. The difference between the nine and the one, not one of them came back. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Where's the other ones that I healed? Where's the other ones that received the same amount of mercy? Listen, this man was just like the other ones. He had the disease just like they had him. He was thankful. He was grateful. Where are the other nine? Listen, understand this. While all 10 were unified in their request, while all 10 were unified in crying, Lord, Savior, have mercy upon us. While they were unified in their request, all 10 certainly weren't unified in their giving of thanks. Only one came back to give thanks. In fact, the vast majority, think about this, went on without a second thought. Think about that. Without even so much as a second thought of who had healed them and giving of thanks back to Jesus. And listen, before we say shame on them, I wonder, how many mercies of God in my life go unnoticed on a daily basis? How many blessings God places upon me on a daily basis and I don't even think about it? Or if I do, it's just a passing thought. Then I'm done with it. And then I'm on to complaining some more. On to griping some more about something that's going on in my life. Listen, how many blessings of God, as soon as they happen, escape my memory? Listen, if I complain even once today, I'm out of line. I want you to think about that. I began to examine this passage, and listen, while we would hope to identify with the one instead of the nine, the truth is there's a good chance we're in the majority on this one and not the minority. There's a good chance, myself included, listen, as we go through this life, that we're not giving nearly the amount of thanks to God that He deserves. We're not giving nearly the amount of praise to God and the amount of glory to God that He so rightfully deserves in our lives. I was reading a little bit in preparation for this message, and I read this quote by Matthew Henry. I want you to listen to it very carefully. He says, of the many that receive mercy from God, there are but few, very few, that return to give thanks in a right manner. Scarcely 1 in 10 that render according to the benefit done to them. Well, that's a convicting thought, isn't it? Even in my own life, if I take not the average of people, but the average of God's blessings and God's mercies in my life, listen, if I'm simply giving thanks for 1 out of 10, that's probably the case. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. Boy, we need to be thanking God so much more than we are. Listen, I want you to understand that the natural reaction of these men was just to move on with their life. It was just to continue moving on. And in our own lives, listen, as God gives us blessings and as God gives us mercies, listen, if there's one thing we could all probably do better, it's in giving God praise and thanking God and spending time just praising Him for His mercies and blessings in our lives. I find it so easy to complain and so difficult to remember to give thanks. You see, the natural man is just bent towards the negative. It's just easy. Something happens in our lives, we immediately complain for it. It's just right there on the tip of our tongue. Instead, no, we need to have a mindset of praise and thanksgiving and giving glory back to God. The natural reaction of these men was just simply to move on. Just get back to life as we knew it. Get back to my home. Get back to my spouse. Get back to my children. Get back to the things that I was doing. Get back to my dreams and aspirations for this life. And just simply move on, forgetting the blessing, forgetting the goodness of God, forgetting the healing that had just happened. But I want you to see in verses 18 and 19, because there was something different about this man. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. That was the words of Jesus Christ. In verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want you to think about something. All 10 of those lepers received their healing that day. It wasn't like the 9 when they didn't come back to give thanks to God. It wasn't as though Jesus gave them leprosy back. No, they were healed of their leprosy. But this man, on top of the healing, learned about faith in God that day. When he returned to give thanks to Jesus. Because in his giving thanks to Jesus, he was acknowledging him as Lord of everything. He was bowing down at his feet and saying, Jesus, I realize you are the Creator God, the God of everything. And listen, I want you to understand, while the others had their healing, this man had learned faith in God. Understand this, Christian, when you can praise God and thank God no matter what, even in the midst of your trials, even in the midst of your difficulties, understand you are exercising great faith in the work and person of God. When we can give thanks in the midst of our trials, listen, what we're saying is, God, I understand you are God and you're working on my behalf. And that shows great faith. And understand this, as we go through the difficulties of this life, as we go through the rough days of this life, we need to stop and give thanks to God, for he is good no matter what. I want to finish with just a quick illustration of a person who was born in 1820. Her name was Frances, and she was born in the year 1820. At 6 weeks of age, she, due to an incompetent doctor and malpractice, she lost her eyesight permanently. Obviously, at 6 weeks, just a baby doesn't realize and understand all that's going on there. But it wouldn't be long before she would come of age and realize that the affliction, the loss of her personal eyesight for the rest of her life, was a mistake that could have been prevented. I understand she had much to complain about. She would have had every excuse to complain for the sickness, the loss of her eyesight. And yet she chose not to complain, but she chose to rejoice in God's goodness. In fact, someone later in her life asked her this. They asked her how she could deal with being permanently blind all her life. And this was her response. She said, it seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for that dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. Boy, what a perspective to have in the midst of trials. That it was a gift from God, that God had given it to her. And I think we're all familiar with a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby, who wrote well over 8,000 hymns during her lifetime of some 95 years. And the truth is that she had been permanently blind as a 6-week-old baby, and yet she found every reason to praise God, even in the midst of that great difficulty. And her life continues to inspire, her hymns continue to inspire us today. One of the blessings, one of the favorite hymns that I have of hers, really is her testimony. Blessed assurance. I want to read those lyrics for you tonight. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Verse 2 says, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Imagine how God must have spoken to her heart through her blindness and the visions that she had of just thinking of how beautiful heaven must be and looking one of these days, opening her eyes and looking in the face of our Lord and Savior. She said, angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love, Verse 3, perfect submission. All is at rest. She says, I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. And we all know the chorus, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Boy, what a testimony that is. Of having thanks and giving God all the glory and all the praise, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight, but I understand as I've studied for this message, the Lord has convicted my heart greatly. I think if we're not careful, it's very easy to be one of the nine. When God does something in our lives to say, just continue to move on, not giving it a second thought. But oh, how we need to be the one that came back to Jesus. That came back and expressed great praise and thankfulness to God. And how we need to, by the words of Fanny Crosby, praise the Savior all the day long. Let's not be one of the nine. Let's be the one that comes back. Let's be the one that's quick to give God thanks and praise for His goodness in our lives. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Appreciate the way that you've listened this evening. I think this is an area in all of us, in which all of us need improvement. As we go through our lives, God has done so many things for us. And yet sometimes we just need to be reminded. We need to praise God. And bow down on our knees and just give Him thanks for His goodness to us. We're not going to have a musical invitation tonight. We seldom do on Wednesday nights. But the altar's open in this place. Listen, if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in the cares of this life. We get so wrapped up in our own little world and the things that are going around us. We begin to have a hard time seeing even the person of God for who He is. But let me remind you, God is still God, and God is still good. Altar is open tonight if you need to come and pray. Allow the Lord to do a work in our heart and our life. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for Your goodness. We're thankful for Your work in our lives. Lord, we're thankful that You are God. And Lord, we know because You are God, You are good. Lord, we can come to You any time, day or night, Lord. And I pray that You'd help us to bring and extol the praise and the glory upon You that You so rightly deserve. Lord, we understand that You enjoy to hear the praise of Your people. Lord, You delight in those things. And I pray that You'd help us to be people that are mindful of bringing praise and honor and thanksgiving to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight be with us as we go from this place, Lord, and give us safety. We love You and we thank You for all these things. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand? We'll sing the chorus of Once for All. It's 260.